And joining us now is the Chief Executive at Parramatta there, Jim Sarantinos. Jim, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, morning, Jared. Well, thanks, mate. How are you?
Very well, thank you, and appreciate your time. 2-3 start to the season on the field for the club in the NRL and a 41-8 loss to the Raiders the other night. Considering, I guess, Mitchell Moses' injury, to what extent have on-field expectations changed?
I'd say they haven't changed at all. We came into this season expecting to play finals. I guess every team, probably more so than in most years, has suffered some challenges with injuries early in the season. And it's probably unreasonable to expect that you'll go through a full season unscathed. Obviously, the loss of Mitch and also Bryce Cartwright's been out for a couple of weeks. He had a great start to the season himself. He's something that we haven't dealt with as well as we could have over the last couple of weeks. And we're just going to have to do a better job of that moving forward to get back on track.
Jim, I wanted to ask you just about supporting your head coach, and I'm not speaking just for Parra, but I feel like every year we see coaches under serious pressure, even though they're on long-term deals. They just, you know, a few losses and their job company, you know, is in the spotlight. They're under pressure every single time. We're seeing it with South at the moment. And I feel like, how hard is it as a CEO to not read into the stuff that's in the press and not, you know, not cave into that consistent media pressure and keep the faith with your head coach?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting question, Michael. I'd say I'm in my fifth season as CEO, and I'd say at the start of my tenure, it was probably harder. You kind of got to learn how to deal with that. As I've sort of become more experienced as CEO, it just becomes really apparent that you've just got to focus on what's happening in-house. And there's a lot of noise. The media's job is to create interest and debate these issues, irrespective of whether there's validity to it or not. But our focus needs to be on what's happening on the inside of our club. And Brad's our coach. And whether it's your head coach, whether it's your players, whether it's your staff, our job is to provide the support that we can to everybody in our organisation to be successful. And to a degree, you have to block out anything that's happening externally, because if you focus on that too much, then you kind of lose sight of providing that support. So the key thing for us is we haven't performed well over the last couple of weeks. I think everyone would acknowledge that. So what we have to focus on is what can we do, and that's primarily Brad and the players, but what can we do to support them to make sure that we get our season back on track?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, Jim, to see what Brad does, because it hasn't been working since Mitch left the field, in particular that halves combination. And when I'm looking through the New South Wales Cup results, I see Parramatta at the bottom. They haven't won a game, so is there a concern about depth, or are you disappointed with obviously what they're doing at the moment? And how's it all sort of marrying up the reserve grade and your first grade stocks?
Yeah, look, I think, Laurie, it's obviously a valid question. Our New South Wales Cup team has got a number of young players in it. We won the SG Ball competition last year, so we've got a really great crop of kids that have come through who are still 18 or 19. And I guess a number of those have been given an opportunity to probably take a step up and play at that cup level together.
Yeah.
They'll have an exciting future at the club, but you would know a hell of a lot better than me. It probably takes time to even take that step up to a couple of levels into New South Wales Cup, where you're playing against men, you're playing against people who've been in the game for a long time. And I think if you look back at our results, we've actually been in a position to win a number of those games, but just haven't been able to finish it off.
Yep.
So, and I think that will come with experience. So it has been a rough start, but I think at the same time, we're providing an opportunity to some of our young talent to probably build on their experience.
That's one of the advantages, I reckon, if you do it well. Parramatta having a big junior base, and we've seen with Penrith, but I think that's one of the advantages you can get in this game if you have a good junior system, a good pathway system coming through. And I think by listening to that, is that where your sort of focus, not has been, but will be? in years.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think probably going back 7 or 8 years ago, where there was a lot of chopping and changing at the club, there probably wasn't a right focus. The appropriate focus probably wasn't given on the pathways.
Yeah.
We've really resharpened that focus over the last 4 to 5 years. And as you know, you're not going to get immediate results with things like that. It will take time. But over the last few years, we've seen a number of young kids come through. Will Penasini and Sean Russell are established first graders. We've seen Blaze make his debut earlier this year. All kids who have come right through our ranks. And, I mean, Penrith seems to have got the model right. And they've invested heavily in their pathways. Unfortunately, they've got the jump on us, but we're certainly looking to emulate that model, because it's really important that we have people who come through our grades, feel a connection to our club, and play for our club with passion. So having as many young players coming through your system that can do that is only going to hold us in good stead in the future.
I know you don't pick the team, Jim, but there's a story on the back page today about young Ethan Sanders. I just want to ask you about him and his future, because he has been linked to other clubs. Are you guys still actively trying to keep him at your club, or is it a foregone conclusion that he'll leave at the end of this year?
Look, no, it's not a foregone conclusion. He obviously is unable to negotiate with other clubs until after round six, which is obviously coming up very soon. But we would love for Ethan to stick around. At the same time, we understand that young players are always going to be looking for an opportunity. And we do have Dylan and Mitch at the club longer term, but we think Ethan can learn a hell of a lot from playing behind those players. And I think, as we've seen, Mitch is out for an extended period of time at different points in time. Our halves have missed time during the year, and the opportunities will come. So we'd certainly love for Ethan to continue his career at the club, but that'll ultimately be a decision for Ethan and his family and his manager.
We're speaking to Parramatta Chief Executive Jim Sarantinos. And Jim, are you expecting Zach Lomax to be working for your organisation next year?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Would I like for Zach to be at our club? Yes, absolutely. I think it's probably been pretty well covered that we've got a strong interest in Zach, so I can't really shy away from that. Zach's a great player. He's obviously looking for a change. And we'd love to see Zach playing in the blue and gold from 2025.
Big challenge for the team this weekend, though, Jim, taking on the Cowboys, who have been in good form. You're back home at Combank Stadium. It'd be nice to get a win up for your fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, our fans always turn out in big numbers. We sold out 2 of the first 3 games this season and had a good turnout against Manly as well. We owe it to our fans to put on a better performance this week. The Cowboys have obviously started the season well. They score a lot of points, so I'm sure Brad and the team are going to be very focused on how we counteract that and how we put in a stronger showing this week to get our season back on track.
Jim, I know you had to put in your
submission. Jim, I see next week. Sorry, Mitty, go for it, buddy.
No, Jim, you had to put in
your
submission.
I was just going to say, Jim, I see you guys are taking another game up to Darwin again, mate. How significant is it to keep taking footy up to the NT?
Yeah, look, I think this is going to be the 10th time that we've taken a game up to Darwin. And there is a great following there. We've sold out each of our games the last 4 seasons up there, which is terrific. And we've built a bit of a connection with the community in the NT. Look, I think it's obvious that AFL is probably the most followed and participated sport, but there is a strong following of league up in the NT. And it's a great opportunity for us to sort of go away together as a club. It gives an opportunity for a lot of our members, our fans, our sponsors to get along and enjoy that experience away from home. We've had, over the period, we've had a great record up there, but last couple of years, not so much. So we obviously look to we need to reverse that when we take the Dolphins up there in a couple of weeks.
Jim, can I ask about the Vegas experiment this year, which was such a great success, and I was lucky enough to be over there. The club's thoughts on going there next year, is that a high priority, or is it something that if it came along, it just came along?
Yeah, look, we've put in an expression of interest. I was over there as well, Laurie, and I think probably in my time, the one thing that rugby league has done that everyone has been positive about. I thought it was a really great experience. I think it galvanised the game and probably provided a great kickstart for the season back home. But look, we have put in an expression of interest. We would love to go. I think I'd love to provide that experience for our players. I think the players that went across this year all seem to enjoy it. And again, an opportunity for our fans to experience something different and unique. So we're certainly keen to be part of 2025. And I guess the NRL's got some work to do to work out who those four teams are going to be.
Have they given you an indication when that decision will be made?
I think they are looking to make that decision relatively soon.
Right.
Hopefully within the next couple of months. And obviously, the more lead time you've got to plan for these types of things, the easier it is to secure facilities and work out all the different logistics for your players, your staff, your fans, your partners, etc. So I think the NRL is looking to lock that in pretty soon.
Now, of course, CommBank Stadium, one of the great facilities now as far as stadiums are concerned. And there are some other clubs out there. Well, the West Tigers looking at their own stadium arrangements. And you're very much the primary tenant. But if the West Tigers wanted CommBank usage more often, how would Parramatta feel about sort of a joint tenancy arrangement?
Look, I know the Tigers. Well, the Tigers have played games there in the past. The Dogs have as well. I think the Panthers will play a handful of games next year. That will always be our home. And I don't think no one can ever tell me anything different. So, look, it's a great facility. We're blessed to have that as our home ground. And I think the more games that can be played there, I think the better off rugby league will be. Yeah, I wouldn't want them to be playing all of their games there, but if they played a handful and that was better off, if that made the game better off as a whole, I wouldn't have any objection to that. And that's because I know that that will always be our home and everyone will know that that is the Parramatta Eels home.
And speaking of great facilities, the new Centre of Excellence at Kellyville, how's it tracking?
Yeah, it's tracking really well. We're about 6 months into construction. We're due to complete in March of next year. So we're just under 12 months away. And the construction's progressing really well. It's going to be a great facility, not just for our club, but the wider community. It'll allow us to have all of our football programs, male and female, from the senior programs within our elite pathways all the way through to NRL and NRLW in the one location. But the unique element of it is that there will be a really strong community aspect to it. We'll have junior league clubs that will call this their home. We'll use this as a match day venue as well for some of our second tier and junior rep football. So once it's all said and done, it's going to be the biggest rugby league facility in the Southern Hemisphere, and it'll be a great home for our club for generations to come.
Will it have a barber shop?
Not sure. I don't have much hair, so it doesn't really. It's not something that's on my radar.
He was having a go at you there, too, Jim.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah,
no, I just know Gutho will use it.
Yeah, I'm sure the boys will appreciate it more than I will. So,
hey, Jim. Sorry, mate. Can I just ask you about your women's program? How much significant growth have you seen over the last couple of years and year on year? How much more interest is there and the numbers? How have they grown?
Yeah. There's probably two big things that really stand out, Laurie. From a female participation in our junior league, it's enormous. I think two or three years ago, we had a couple of hundred girls playing in our junior league. The numbers now are close to 1,000. So it's almost five times more than what it was three or four years ago. And then the other part is just the size and scale of our football programs. When you go from our development squads all the way to our NRL and NRLW team, when we were planning this facility 4 or 5 years ago, we had 6 football programs. We now have 16. And a big part of that is our women's program, where we've got NRLW, we'll have a team in the Harvey Norman Women's Premiership, under-19s, under-17s, development squads. These are all programs that didn't exist 4 or 5 years ago. So it's grown a hell of a lot. And I think it just mirrors the level of interest in women's rugby league and women's sport generally.
Yeah. And is all that funded by the NRL? Is it funded by clubs? Is it funded by... How do you pay for it all?
It's a bit of a combination. I mean, each of the clubs competing in the NRLW receive a grant in the same way that the clubs receive a grant for their NRL programs.
Yep.
So that goes towards, I guess, funding our player salary cap for NRLW teams, as well as some of the coaching staff and football resources. But pretty much every other dollar that's spent below the NRLW level is completely funded by the club. So that's been a big investment by us, but we see it as an area of importance, and we're focused on really growing the women's game and just getting as many young girls interested in our game as possible, whether that be playing, whether that be as a fan.
Well, Jim, we really appreciate your time this morning.
No problems. Pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.